What's up, Kingo from
the crew?
What's up, Kingo the Hill?
King, favorite Irish TV show, King O the Hill. I'm just over here listening to rapper Eminem while playing the game Doom. You know, the classic Bang Bang.
Yeah, my favorite video game, favorite Irish video game, Doom.
It's Irish, but it's also Homer Simpson. Dome.
Oh man, didn't realize "dough" is this Celtic slang that Homer Simpson's always using.
Yeah, dude, Homer Simpson is all about his fucking Celtic heritage, man. That's why he says "dough," because it's an ancient Celtic swear. How are you? How you feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling good. Just recovering on some sleep from the Jolo weekend. Shout out to the Jolo crew.
Yeah, Jolo squad was in full effect. Lots of good theory. Lots of good theory and lore got built. Theory,
lots of lore. Lots of po boys. Lots of po fuck yourself. It's good.
I'm sure getting the. I mean, it helped a lot that you had Runyon in your squad because he is like the world's loudest NOLA evangelist. So I'm sure that he showed you guys good time.
Definitely, definitely. It was hella good, man. We did it big.
Fucking awesome. There's a lot of stuff to say about this episode, so let's go ahead and get into it.
Yes, I gotta drop at the hour. So cool. Let's jump rock in and roll.
Welcome everybody, Master Shake Theater here. Lars,
Master Shake Theater here.
It's season three. We made it. We've been doing this one for almost a year. I can't believe we did it. It's cool. Today we're talking about the inaugural episode in season three, Video Ouija. Episode aired April 25th, 2004. We're squarely in 2004 with the show now, which is kind of nuts. Master Shake in this episode goes to great lengths to appear in Meatwad's new video game that allows him to talk to the dead. Unfortunately, Meatwad isn't interested in the game. Once again, enormously funny and vague wiki. Like, what the fuck? I don't understand. They must, like, I almost feel like people write these wikis poorly as a bit. I just want to say season three, more like season P. if you get that reference, good for you. What did we think? What did we think about this one?
This is a very auspicious start to season three. Nice. It's just jam packed with funny shit. I'm in love with Billy so much. I wish I had a Billy-esque friend to just come and do chicken raisings. It's fantastic, man. Just fantastic.
Most people do a fundraise. Billy and people like him, the likes of him, are in the business of doing a chicken raise. So you gotta come to my house, or come to the fucking VFW hall on Thursday. We're doing a chicken raise. By the way, just not to put the cart in front of the horse, I'm very obviously your host, Jim, and with me today is Scott Stapp. Been a while since we've had Scott Stapp on here. We appreciate you being here, Mr.
Yeah, it's good to be back. you know, I'm just taking the season in with arms wide open.
We hope that this season isn't your own prison, though.
No. I mean, I feel like it's going to mold me like human clay. So I'm feeling good about it.
We hope that it is season P, though, so it is urine prison.
Oh, man. You're in prison. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Ooh, yeah. Pissprison.com. No, this is an immediately great premise because it sounds like a 12-year-old wrote it. and it sort of plays out that way, too, except way more fucked up. And I love any episode that starts up with like any sort of Emery and Oglethorpe or Moon Knight's, you know, tomfoolery is always a really good decision.
Yeah, I liked how much, or I guess how little, the Emery and Oglethorpe bit had to do with any of the rest of the episode.
Yeah, like a complete non sequitur, which is, I mean, makes it, I think, even better. If we're being completely real.
And is this the first cold open that doesn't have what's it, Dr. Weird?
Dr. Weird, yeah. Which is cool. I mean, like, that's I think probably a departure from form, maybe deliberately, because they were really, really stretching the format of the Dr. Weird and Steve cold opens towards the end of last season. They had gotten about as unhinged and zany as they could have possibly gotten, and I mean that quite literally. So I think it's good that, you know, that they're exploring some different space. Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, I made that on purpose. Meatwad becoming an enormously advanced being for sure, like at a cognitive level, like he's just very clearly like evolving while still maintaining all of his meatwaddy charm, which is nice. And the dialogue right out of the gate is just insane. Like, This is a show that obviously hangs its fucking hat on dialogue in a pretty substantial way, and it is really it showed its ability, especially in season two, to really, you know, fuck on people in terms of having excellent dialogue, and this is just them fucking on people further, and I'm so excited about it. Like, it's the best part of this show, and it's good to keep see it being upkept still in spite of all the other good and probably more popular things about the show. Yeah,
just at a meta level, we're both like, how the fuck do we do a podcast, because it's been a 4 weeks since we recorded one of these.
Yeah,
I love sure. it good to be I'm back just, though
damn yeah it's, back. it's really good to be back. I'm fucking stoked. I'm
very stoked about this season.
I am too. We're gonna have a lot of fun guests. Like, this is the season where we have like all of our really super wild card guests, and there will be a lot of Luke Whalen participation as well, because this is his favorite season. The controller exploding when it hits the floor is perfect.
Me every time.
there's nothing funnier, okay, than objects that shouldn't explode exploding. Like, it's just, I think it's GoldenEye culture for me, right? Like, I think everybody who came up in the 90s has a special relationship with that because of that, and I think this is probably a direct act of service to that, which I think is great.
The one that always kills me is the guy who like opens up the train car door while it's moving and like jumps out and like immediately hits the ground at a different speed and falls over, but someone re-edited it, so he just like jumps out, hits the ground, and explodes.
Yeah, no, it's the best. Like, that's already the funniest meme.
Already the funniest meme, and then just the guy exploding. Yeah, incredible.
We can evolve as far as we want as a species, and there will still never be anything funnier than people fucking harming themselves. Let's just get on that record, and just like, slapstick is always going to be funny.
Slapstick is funny. Like the best comedians are fucking physical slapstick comedians, and like, people Like, I mean, there's so many good people in that pantheon, but like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, one of the funniest fucking slapstick comedians of all time. Like, insane. So fucking good.
Also, and enormously hot.
Also enormously hot, which makes it even funnier.
Yeah. But there's a lot at the macro to be said about this episode and how well crafted it is. I think the biggest thing is how willing they are to just go to way edgier places than the show has ever been in a really immediate way, in a way that feels sincere and not grabby, right? Like the Shake, they just like them walking in on Shake doing suicide by hanging, and then like Shake throwing himself into Carl's pool with a bunch of piranhas, like ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. I got the animation of Shake just like jumping off the chair with the noose on just really made me laugh. I'm sorry, it just did.
No, it's really really fun. Like it's insane. And then obviously Carl's very good line, any chance you were going to clean the Shake stew out of my pool, which Corey from Hate Files said last night, he dropped a really interesting piece of like grandpa lore, which apparently his grandpa used to say, he really beat the stew out of that guy, which I think is something that I'm going to fucking say from now on. It's like beating the stew out of somebody, I think, is the most old timey thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that's pretty damn, it's pretty damn old timey. I mean, because, you know, most American males now wear, you know, more American whale males now wear bracelets than eat stew. So
more American whales now.
More American whales. More American males.
No, yeah, more American males wear bracelets. Would rather wear 3 bracelets than eat stew. Also, more American males would rather wear 3 bracelets than be named as Stew. So that's also
name of Stew.
Are you there, God? It's me.
Are you there, God?
A guy named Stew.
Guy named Stew.
Well, off the rails. No, because this episode goes off the rails, and it's good to have. I think that this episode is an extra fun one to play, you know, a hacky sack about the way that we do about things, right out of the gate before the denouement with Billy Witch Doctor even starts happening, just because I think that like the, you know, our ever growing sort of apocalypse culture obsession with, you know, witchy shit and also horror and zombies. This episode is sort of like an everything bagel of those kinds of things. And I think that it ages pretty well considering the, you know, ever stronger relationship we have with those tropes, just as a society in general. Like, I think that this, more than any other episode that we've seen, I feel like if you tweak a couple pieces of the premise, like this is an episode that could very easily just be made like in the current day, right? And like maybe the only thing that, you know, that we could play around with would be like the vehicle by which the, you know, video Ouija-ness of it all happens, right? Like, can you imagine how much more fucked this episode would be if like the video Ouija shit were happening in the metaverse, right? Like,
right,
if, like
right.
If the video game were happening in an Oculus, like, pretty cool. Sort of crossover episode with the Oculus South Park episode, if you will.
Yeah, like I that feels true. And like I wonder if there is something about like the collapse of certain institutions that just makes people turn towards, you know, like the kind of randomness of things like witch doctory things anyway, you know, or the non-randomness rather. Like if it's something about being in a complex emergent society that you kind of prefer to have something like that to have some sense of control,
right? Because I do think that, yeah, that's a really, really great point. And one that I was going to get to, which is that, like, yeah, there is a knowable and comforting element to the types of stuff that happens, you know, in these age old, right? Because these are, a lot of these are, you know, really ancient narratives around, you know, the destruction of the human form and, you know, immortality and the furthest logical extreme of physical horror in some way, right? Like, and there's a reliability to that that isn't present in, you know, whatever modern day horrors we've fucking crafted for ourselves and lie in the bed of, you know? Right. There's something inherently better. And I, yeah, I think, like, the, as things get more grim, our mechanisms of escapism from that grimness have to get more extreme, to the point where I do think that, like, soon, like, there are going to be potentially real scenarios where, like, people have, like, technology-enabled interactions with the paranormal in ways that, you know, could harm them in meaningful ways, either psychologically or physically. Like, I don't think that it's completely out of, like, I don't know how realistic this is, but, like, let's play devil's advocate here and say that we're probably, like, two to three years away from, like, a seance subscription service, you know, for the spooky set. Because, like, with the exception, with the obsession, which is pretty widespread with, you know, witchy stuff, spooky stuff, the ability for the algorithm to sell anything to anyone, and once it, like, thinks it knows their interests,
right.
There has the potential for being some real shit like Video Ouija, and it's probably going to happen through, like, a Discord server or an Oculus headset, and then that, and, you know, there, it's going to actually be, like, propped up in service of, like, they're going to make, like, a true crime slash horror reality TV series about it, right? Like, oh, you get all these people trapped in this fucking, in this metaphysical quagmire with a Discord server and or a fucking Oculus headset, and then make reality TV about it.
Yeah. You see that being a thing. I mean, I also, like, feel like, I don't know how related this is, but I feel like the algorithm is weakening as, like, people are running from social media more and more. And I think, like, companies are not seeing the results that they want from the algorithm anyway. So it's sort of like this, like, I think we're in, like, an interesting place there. Like, there may be some kind of rethinking going on, but I don't know that we will, like, ever fully get rid of that. But it's certainly at a turning point where it's either going to become much more extreme, like the shit I heard the other day where someone was getting an MRI and they had to watch fucking ads while they were in the fucking MRI.
That is so some, like, that is straight up like a fake Master Shake Theater ad read. Which, yeah, by the, like, way, if you're listening to this, we've got news for you, because we are going to start offering a subscription service in the Blue Chuggy world. To you, our resident MRI needers, we're going to have a subscription service coming soon called Mr. I, where you get you can do an MRI on yourself through your iPad. It's an app that costs $36 a month, and it's a way to sidestep the, you know, the cumbersome healthcare system, and you know, sell your data about your organs to the Black Sabbath, but that's neither here nor there.
So it integrates nicely with the Oregon app, ORGN, which, yeah, is a donor network for, you know, you just need a little extra money, you don't need that gallbladder, let's do it.
Yeah, it ties in directly. It has, you know, has back end hooks with Oregon, so it's really, really easy to make that jump. And if it will actually assess the health of your organs while it's doing your MRI, and then give you an appraisal of your organs for on the organ market. So it's dropping on Black Friday, which is just a few days from now. So go to your any app store. Check out Mr. I. Again, if you have an iPad of the two newest generations, it will work seamlessly. So thank you.
The first 500 subscribers also get our free smart bidet, which actually just detects like any sort of illnesses that you might have in your urine and then does a nice cleaning for you at any time that you need it. So once again, it all integrates with Oregon. We just want to make sure that, you know, all the all your parts are fairly appraised on the Oregon market.
Yes, smooth plug there, right? Because it's the Scott Stapp signature smart bidet called Hole E. So
yes, it's a matte black. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking awesome. It's good. We got multiple plugs off there in one shot. Which you have Friday's coming, baby. People are gonna be buying all kinds of shit. What better thing to do on Black Friday? It's fucking loser culture, man. You know what? Well, you know what makes the reason you're poor? Because big tech CEO wears Kirkland shoes, drive Toyota, but spend money on stock, and you go spend money on Supreme shoe. You poor. Go invest your fucking hype beast money in some goddamn tech devices that are going to extend your life. If we're in the business of extending our fucking lives, then you got to get out ahead of it, baby, because we're going to be us too. We're going to be living to 160 at the bare minimum. Thank you. Fucking crutch.
But back to reality a bit. Like I like MRI ad, real fucking thing. I think like social media ads, I think people are like, this shit doesn't quite work.
There's no sincerity. Like there's a new sincerity happening with this vibe shift that we keep talking about. Just people can't be sold shit at the level that they used to be able to.
No, it's true. Like, and I think it goes one of like two ways, which is like, just we see more subscriptions for like everything. So everybody has their like, you know, their fucking life tax that they just pay through subscriptions.
Yep.
Or you just get a fucking complete inundation and like, it's like, you know, oh, you want to use this public toilet? All right, just watch this quick, you know, 45 second ad. Which ad experience do you prefer? The, you know, the fucking Honda electric vehicle ad experience, or, yeah, and it's always a fucking ad experience. I'm like, cool, you go, you watch the 45 second ad to enter the fucking public toilet, and then, you know, and then like inside, it's like the Honda, you know, the Honda piss chamber. And like, it's like, I think we're not that far out from that. I would put money on us going that direction, because like, I think it's just gonna be like complete inundation, or like much more than it already is. And like every surface will be a screen, and it's just gonna be fucking bad.
Yeah. I mean, because dystopia has already shown us the complete unbounded ability it has to just become to be boring, right? Like, it's not enough that we live in a hell world. None of it can be even remotely interesting either. It has to just be the most bland shit imaginable. Because when you have like, when you have a, you know, a cadre of very serious people making decisions, who are fundamentally disconnected because of their lifestyle choices from what is actually compelling, and you're going to have an enormous amount of groupthink about what is actually good. So anybody making decisions, regardless of the level of fucking metrics and measurement people have access to, like the decision-making isn't going to be sound, because people just don't like anybody who's making an important decision doesn't fucking understand vibes at all. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, right.
It's just a fundamentally important part of the world. And so like, if you have that disconnect, you're obviously going to get all these scenarios where they're, you know, like we've seen and are going to continue to see, everything just gets more and more bland, right? And ubiquitous and bland are both things that are linear upward with the way that we get fucking shit advertised to us. So we're in for a particularly funny ride. I only hope that when I am, you know, fighting for my life to take a public shit because I, you know, me like any other person under 40 now subsists exclusively on 4 iced coffees a day, that I'm able to, you know, get the Steve-O Blue Chew dick pills ad experience at the very least so I can laugh while I'm trying not to shit my pants.
You're actually gonna have a band on your arm that like it just like predicts what ad experience you want, and you're just gonna be getting so much Blue Chew ad experience. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a lot of Blue Chew and a lot of Dr. Squatch because for whatever reason, like the algorithm has me so enormously fucked up that it still thinks that I'm like worried about being a gay pussy. When in fact I am celebrating being a gay pussy. So
oh yeah, dude.
No. This is the best episode yet. I think this truly is. I can't believe we got through all the fucking spitball that I wanted to fucking play already. That is so crazy. Like in terms of the cultural shit, like we're on a time crunch today, so we won't do Culture Corner today, but maybe next
week. We'll pick it up next week. Yeah.
Just because like there's no way that we're going to have like as much to say next week about the actual episode as we do about this one, but maybe I'm wrong. But in any case, like we haven't even gotten to the actual BillyWitchDoctor.com shit yet. Like, holy fuck.
It's the best character so far, I think. 100%. Like, or best, you know, side character. I just someone who, like, is, like, sincerely fucking with you. I love that so much, man.
It's so the greatest vibe. That's, like, this is a genre of guy that just doesn't exist anymore because it's, like, it's truly an iconoclastic thing to be a guy who a genre of dude who is so chaotic that they fuck with you only to amuse themselves. They don't have anybody else to impress. And I think it's a lost art. I came up with a lot of people who were like this, who just like were permanently pot committed to the bit of just like good natured ribbing and bits at all times. It's charming. It's a way to be. There's too many, every line that comes out of BillyWitchDoctor.com is an iconic one. Mega Ultra Chicken, he is legend. The one that kills me the fucking most though is one convenient locations in Africa.
Oh my god.
That is the one that just,
I threw my computer out the window at that line. I had to buy a new computer because I fucking fell over and fucking frisbee through the fucking window.
Also, when he says me intern is a really subtle thing that I caught this time that I didn't catch before, which is such a very 2004 thing to say. Just like somebody sucks because they're an intern. The chicken arise thing, hearing Meatwad say chicken arise
every time Meatwad repeated it, I was like pissing myself and like I absolutely like 1000% need to get a chicken. Since we're talking about selling stupid fucking shit to people, we should sell a chicken arise alarm clock that's just Billy the Witch Doctor and Meatwad saying chicken arise chicken because I'm fucking chicken arise.
I wonder how cheap it would be to get like a little Tamagotchi style thing that was an alarm clock made, because it would be like we could probably print money with that shit. I feel like season 3 I'm a nascent merch expert, and merch is going to just become a bigger appendage of how I make money this coming year anyway. I think it would be really fun for Master Shake Theater to make some merch to play us out. Because I feel like
there's no words on it.
God, speaking of a really 2004-esque thing.
Oh, damn, yeah.
I just remember
it's 2004.
This episode was a sensation for me and my people at a level that nothing else on TV was for the entirety of high school. We were quoting this episode for like what felt like an entire school year straight because of how enormously consonant it was with our collective autism levels. Like, it was just crazy, like constant.
Nothing. It's, just it's fantastic episode. Yeah, I'm like just so excited about season three because of it too.
Yeah, beginning season three on a good high note. Nothing about this episode would hold up in 2022 at all, besides the premise. Everything that makes this episode good, it is something that would not pass focus group muster in 2022. And I think it's beautiful. I think that it's very rare that there is something that is this of a time, in terms of like, you could not make this today, but isn't cringe and still very much holds up and still really gets the belly laughs. That's sort of just a distillation of what the show is good at in general. And I just think mm-hmm. that this is the highest logical point of that we've seen so far. And that's why it's so good. So I'll let you get about your day, Mr. Scott Stapp. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
We will talk soon. Peace and love, everybody.
See you.